The next case is A220614 in the matter of the welfare of the children of SG and AE parents.
And I believe that we have both the counsel here. Mr. Kluver, can I hear you talk?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you. I can hear your voice. And Ms. Pavs?
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning. And with that, this session is being recorded and will be posted on the court's website within the next day or two. At the beginning of your argument, please state your name and the party that you're representing. Can you both see the clock and on the screen letting you know about your time?
I can.
Thank you.
Yes.
So with that, Mr. Kluver, are you ready to proceed?
I am ready to proceed, Your Honor.
You may then.
May it please the court. My name is Douglas Kluver. I represent the appellant AE in this matter. AE is the father of the children at issue. And what the father is challenging in this case is the court's factual basis for the trial court's finding that the father is both palpably unfit to be a parent, and that the conditions leading to the placement have not been corrected. This case is kind of unusual in posture in that it was brought primarily against the mother due to actions on the part, drug use specifically on the part of the mother that was in the presence of the children. So these are the conditions that were leading to the removal of the children. What had occurred since was the mother had voluntarily terminated. And our position is that this corrected those conditions that were leading to the placement of the children, because this centered around the mother and the mother's home. The father was not residing with the mother at the time and had moved out of the house a couple of months prior. So that I don't believe that finding that these conditions that led to that out-of-home placement were not corrected. And that leads us to...
As I understand it, your client was over at the house quite a bit. He worked an evening shift, as I understand it, I think getting off at 3:30 in the morning, and then he would come over to visit the children, to help with their care, to clean up, do what he could. And in fact, when I understand he moved out in November of 2021, and when police executed the search warrant in January of 22, father was there. So it seems that he was, even though he might not have been residing at mother's home, he was there a lot. At least that's what the record indicates.
He was there a lot, Your Honor. He was there caring for his children. He has always demonstrated great care for his children. But it wasn't where he resided. In fact, at the time, he was residing with his mother. But that was the time that he could see the children and tend to the children. The mother was always the custodial parent. She had sole physical and legal custody of the children. So he didn't have any rights that were established as far as parenting time. So his rights to see the children only ran through whatever the mother was allowing him to have at the time. Without question, both the mother and father have past histories of drug use. The father did as well. And I think that kind of goes into the palpably unfit finding that the court made. And first of all, I think it's important to understand, just when did this palpable unfitness occur, because there was a prior CHIPS action that had closed in June 29th of 2021. And at that point, so we know that the father was not palpably unfit at that point, yet somehow between June 29th of 2021 and the following January, when the petition for TPR was brought, the father suddenly became palpably unfit.
He has some admitted drug use during that period of time, correct?
He did have admitted drug use. He removed himself from the house. He had used methamphetamine again. And the father, like I said before, he is an addict and will always be one. And so he wrestles with that and has wrestled with both methamphetamine and the use of alcohol for many years. However, the issue, I think, where this case comes down to is the court's determination that alcohol and substance use does not render a parent palpably unfit in the absence of a causal connection between that substance and the parent's inability to care for the children. And that's essentially what this case gets down to, I believe, is that there was no causal connection between the parent's use and any inability to care for the children. In fact, there's never really any finding here that my client, the father, has an inability to care for the children. He's always been the stable force. Even in the earlier case where the children were removed, they were removed from the mother's care, and the father wasn't present. And this was the same case here where the father had moved out, and the mother tends to spin out of control at that point.
Mr. Clark,
yes?
On page 8 of your brief, in the footnote, you talk about how prior to the children being removed from mother's care, father was taking care of the children by feeding them, cleaning up after the children, making sure they attended school and medical appointments. And when the children were removed again in January and taken to the doctor, they all had significant medical issues, ear infection, pneumonia, low iron. And so I don't know that your client was attending to their medical needs or taking care of them in the ways that you're presenting that he was.
Well, I think that it's important to remember that he was taking care of them as a non-custodial party as well as he could. He didn't have any rights to see these children. And in fact, the testimony at trial was that he went to the mother and he said, he was concerned about the children. And her response was that if he does anything or takes any action, he's not going to see the children at all.
Counselor,
What
evidence in the record then demonstrates that father has the ability to independently parent the children? Because it seems to me, it sounds like you're challenging the district court's finding of fact number 80 on page 18 of the order. So can you speak to why that finding is clearly erroneous?
Well, it's clearly erroneous because it's backwards. It's saying that it's unsupported by the evidence for one thing. And
so could you identify then what evidence supports your view that he does have the ability to independently parent the children?
I think the burden here, and this is my issue with this, is there's no evidence here that he cannot do that. In fact, there was evidence to the contrary that, and all the experts that testified that he did well. He provided for the children, that he had his addiction under control at the time. And that's my problem with the court's determination, is the court was looking for some evidence that said he couldn't, or the court was supposed to find evidence that he couldn't parent.
Well, he removed the evidence of his long-term sobriety by shaving his head 3 days after the social worker said she'd like a hair follicle.
That's
and
the that allegation.
And would have shown whether or not he used.
That's the allegation, that he shaved his head so he couldn't take a hair follicle. He had already admitted that he had relapsed. He already admitted that. And they tested him.
It was a moving target or date as to when and how often he relapsed, depending upon who he talked with.
But again, that's where the argument gets lost in the weeds, where we don't care whether his use, whatever it is, has had a negative effect on his ability to parent. That's the issue here.
It did land him in jail. The DUI.
No, it didn't.
The DUI did. And the judge mentioned that your client's 44 years old and has spent at least 16 years incarcerated in one form or another. So this, he would be unavailable. And I realize that parents, merely by being in prison, doesn't mean that they're probably unfit. But that's a significant amount of his adult life.
But that shows how the trial court failed in this case. It's going back instead of looking at the time of the hearing, which the court is required to do, conditions existing at the time of the hearing and that appear will continue for a prolonged indefinite period that are permanently detrimental to the welfare of the child.
Well, I think the judge did say he didn't have housing. He didn't have a place for the children to live. He was unemployed. The judge did look at things at the time of the hearing.
Well, not exactly. That in a very narrow way. He was unemployed because he was wrongfully charged with a charge that was completely out of his hands. He had a good job. He was willing to keep that good job until the police charged him with a drug charge that didn't have any merit, and then kept it in place for a month until he lost his job and couldn't afford to get a place to live. These are not permanent conditions. These are conditions that are easily remedied. And he could have, had he not been caught. His only problem was he happened to be at the mother's house at the time the house was raided. Otherwise, he would have been the permanency option. But if we're saying that because the father used methamphetamine during from the period of January of 20 or June of 21 to January of 22, in that period, he's palpably unfit, I believe that's contrary to law. If we don't find that there's this causal connection between an inability to parent, and I think it's difficult a lot of times to look at this and see that parents can be addicts. They can be meth addicts. They can be alcoholics. And they can still be good enough parents for their children. And I know that's kind of unpalatable because we don't like to think of that. But that's what the courts have decided, because, and it's important because as the evidence showed, this relationship is significant to these children. These children are very bonded to the father. The father is very bonded to the children. That's important.
Do you think that the children had any special needs based on the record?
I believe the children do have special needs. And I think the father, there's no reason to believe that if the father had the opportunity to parent these children, that he couldn't meet those needs. I don't see the evidence that says that he isn't able to do that, especially if he has, like the testimony was, his addiction under control, which it would seem that he does based on this. So we don't believe that there's just simply not sufficient evidence in this record to show palpable unfitness, and that this this should be remanded to the trial court to make those findings as to what that causal connection is that specifically keeps the father from being able to parent his children. Thank you.
Thank you. And you will have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it.
Thank you.
Counsel for respondent.
May it please the court. My name is Juliana Passy. I'm an assistant Canada Wide County attorney on behalf of the respondent, Canada Wide County Health and Human Services. Your Honor, this case involves a termination of parental rights for children who had been out of place home placement for a total of 668 days at the time of the termination. The district court did not clearly abuse its discretion in determining that father was palpably unfit to parent the children, and therefore the county would request that the court affirm the district court. The findings of the district court are extensive on the reasons why father is a palpably unfit parent. It's clear from the district court's order that the district court had concerns about father's use of methamphetamine, at least one use as of November 2021, evidence of at least three prior uses in 2021 as well. And then, of course, the father's decision to avoid drug testing when he was in custody at the jail after the raid on the home by shaving his head. The transcript, I believe, on that point, the father did testify that he shaved his head because he was afraid that his hair sample was going to test positive for THC and methamphetamine.
Counsel, what evidence in the record shows a causal connection between father's struggle with substance abuse and his ability or inability to parent?
A couple of things, Your Honor. First of all, the district court, there were numerous professionals who testified at the district court regarding the particular challenges that father is facing in light of his long history of chemical use, his mental health issues, his long history of incarceration, et cetera. And those experts testified that parents who have a long history of chemical use are impaired in their ability to parent. The district court specifically credited those findings on pages 11 and 12 of its order. Furthermore, the history, the fact that the father isn't able to understand, apparently, the severity of chemical use and chemical use around the children. So one thing that the district court is underlying the district court's order, in addition to father's history of chemical abuse, is the father's minimization of his use, his dishonesty regarding the use, and his failure to protect the children from mother's use of controlled substances, as demonstrated by the fact that there were controlled substances in the home. He was at the home. There was a meth pipe on the bed where mother was lying with the child. He found there were meth paraphernalia by the microwave in the kitchen that father said he had cleaned. So there was demonstrated use. Father even admitted at trial that he knew that mother was using controlled substances, and he did not report it to law enforcement, the county, or anyone who did anything. And neither father nor mother entered chemical abuse treatment in response to either of their relapses. So the connection, Your Honor, is the experts' findings that were credited by the district court, as well as the demonstrated the failure to protect the children from the effects of that use. And the fact we have three very small children here, they were 5, 4, and 2 at the time of trial, who had tested positive for methamphetamine twice in their lives. Another thing that was very concerning.
I was going to ask you, the judge found two grounds to terminate father's rights. Do you think one of the grounds is, which ground do you think is strongest?
Your Honor, I think that both grounds are perfectly would be able to be affirmed by this court. I think there is particularly strong bases for the grounds that father is a palpably unfit parent at the time of the termination, in light of the case law is very clear that, yes, you look at what's happening at the time, but you don't just look at what's happening at the time. You look at the duration. You look at what has happened in this child's life. And here we have an extensive record of both father and mother being palpably unfit to care for the children, and father's continued failure to take any steps to demonstrate the sobriety that is needed to be shown to get the housing, to get any kind of stability in his life in place for these three very small special needs children who have had a severe history of neglect. The district court's order is also supported by the fact that father has a history of untreated mental health issues. His lack of housing was very concerning to the district courts, as well as clearly in the district court's order underlying his the district court's concern about lack of housing is also the concern about father's testimony and inaccurate testimony about his ability, or his misleading testimony perhaps about his ability to stay at the home. The district court appears to have concerns throughout that father was dishonest in his answers. He was not forthcoming, and he wasn't understanding the challenges that he had with regard to keeping the children, where he was going to have the children, and continuing to characterize his relapse in methamphetamine as a lapse rather than a relapse.
In his brief, Mr. Kluverstad addresses the issue of reasonable efforts and what the county did or didn't do. And when I don't see much of a case plan or much provided to father when the TPR petition was filed, how do you respond to Mr. Kluver?
Your Honor, it's true that most of the efforts that are specifically addressed by the district court are a lot of those case efforts were done in the first case, which was an extensive child protection case that took place over, I believe it was over a year. As far as the case plan that happened from the time that the children were removed until the TPR, that was a very short period of time. I believe it was like January 12th to March 18th, I think was the last day of trial. So we're talking about 2 months here. There was evidence of services being offered regarding chemical dependency testing for father and treatment efforts. Mr. Kluver doesn't cite to any particular efforts that he thinks the county was lacking in, other than saying that they didn't help him get a job. I don't think that that's a basis to find that the county didn't make reasonable efforts in this case. The record evidence is that father had that job, I think, at that Bobcat that started about two weeks before the raid on mother's home happened. And then he was actually able to get a job. He was fired from that job after being incarcerated, and then was able to find another job by this, I believe it was the second or perhaps the third day of trial. So it isn't the question that father hasn't been able to get a job. It's more a question of father being able to maintain the job. And certainly the brevity of his employment is in part due to father's getting a job 2 weeks before the raid happened. The issues that were underlying the father's inability to parent are those chemical dependency and those mental health issues, which are those issues that had impaired him, father, and able to addressing some of those other issues in his life, such as getting the home, getting a stable job, maintaining a stable job. So these issues all intertwined. And I think that the district court's findings on the reasonable efforts and the list of services is sufficient in this case. Certainly, it's true that a number of those services were aimed at mother. She was, in fact, the custodial parent. However, I think there's sufficient in this case for the for to support the district court's findings of reasonable efforts. Unless your honors have any further questions, I would simply ask that this court affirm the district court. I believe the findings of Popoville unfitness are well supported by the record and by the district court's pretty thorough findings in this case. So I would ask that the court affirm the district court. Thank you.
Judges Cochran or Rodenberg, do you have any questions? Seeing none.
I have none.
Mr. Kluver. And wait.
Thank you.
Let's get the clock up. There you go.
Thank you, Your Honor. Again, when the court inquires as to this causal connection, there is no specifics. And I mean specific facts on how this father couldn't do it. Father was not in jail due to his drug use. The father was in jail due to the mother's drug use. And he was not homeless because he was an addict. He was homeless because, and technically he wasn't homeless, he had moved out of the family home and was living with his mother in a place where he couldn't take children at that time. But that doesn't mean that he couldn't, and with some assistance from the county, he couldn't have obtained housing that would have been suitable for him and the children. In fact, had he not been...
I'm sorry, did the county make reasonable efforts to assist father in finding housing?
No, I don't believe the county made any efforts for the father in finding adequate housing. And I believe, I don't, he was present at the house when it was raided. I don't think that was a design on law enforcement that this was just set up to mess him up. But in fact, it did. Had he not been at the house at the time of that raid, he would have been the logical place for the children to be placed. And of course, he was with his mother, so that would have presented other issues. But I think the county is mandated to put in efforts to make sure that he can have appropriate housing, and we can keep this family together, because ultimately that's what we're here to do, is to see if we...
I'm sorry, excuse me. What efforts do you think the county should have made in terms of housing that weren't made?
I think the effort should have been to... There was housing that was available that the mother had lived in that housing. The father had talked to the person that runs that and had set up. Now, there was... Guardian Lightham testified that she had talked to somebody else, and they said that he didn't qualify. We objected to that testimony, because if that was going to come in, that should have come in, not as hearsay. But in any event, he could get housing is available. Sometimes you just need assistance. He wasn't set up for that. He didn't know he was going to be taking the children that quickly, but certainly there could have been some assistance from the county to get him on some program to make sure he could house the children.
Do we have anything in the record suggesting that your client made that request to the district court between the time of the arrest and the time of the trial?
Request
for more assistance in housing.
He wouldn't have made that request to the district court, or Lee, he didn't make a request to the district court regarding that, but the county had already moved to immediately to termination.
So, I understand that there had been a previous case. I get all that, but I guess it seems to me that if he thought that he wasn't getting a reasonable effort at that time, he maybe should have asked the district court to revisit the reasonable efforts question before trial and provide him some additional services that you now say they'd failed to provide.
I think that's kind of putting an onus on the taking it off of the county to provide reasonable efforts and placing it onto the parent to know what reasonable efforts are available and what he needs. And that seems to be a bit unfair under the current setup. The county has the responsibility here. If they fail in that responsibility, that's not the parent's fault.
Well, to be sure, the reasonable efforts have to be expended by the county, but the district court is overseeing this whole operation and has the ability to say, here is another effort that is reasonable and that the parent wants.
I wish the district court would have taken that approach, but that's not the approach we find at the district court level. We find that the district court sees itself as more an extension of the county than an overseer. I see I'm out of time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is one of those sad cases that we often hear, unfortunately too often. And the case has been well briefed and well argued, and we will have our decision out within 45 days. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.